It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Neppe. At 10:15 a.m. on St. Patrick's Day, Governor Reynolds shut down all bars and restaurants by emergency declaration in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Even though Iowa never fully closed and reopened earlier than most states, COVID-19 has dramatically changed the landscape for business in Iowa. This hour, we'll talk about what it's like to run a business in the age of COVID-19. I'll talk with the owner of a struggling live music venue and bar in Cedar Falls, the owner of a restaurant now up for sale in Denison, and the owner of an antique mall in Cedar Rapids who spends her evenings sewing masks for her customers. We also want to hear from you this hour. If you run a business or if the business you work for has been impacted by COVID-19, share your story. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest today is Steve Adams of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. He specializes in community and economic development. Hello, Steve.
Charity, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. And of course, this is a tough climate for almost every business, but particularly for small businesses. What makes these businesses so vulnerable?
Well, you know, certainly that everybody's had to change how they look at their business, and this has really been a struggle for some businesses. Others have adapted a little bit better than others, but I think everybody, again, is having to, you know, we hear frequently the word pivot. However, I'd say it's more like a triple axel in ice skating. It's just we're constantly spinning here, and every day seems to bring a new challenge in that. And potentially a new opportunity as well, Charity.
Well, and let's talk about the pivots that people have had to make, because for a lot of businesses, that means taking a retail business and making it an entirely online retail business almost overnight. And that may sound simple to anybody who's never tried to run a website, but that's not a simple prospect, is it?
No, and if you didn't have a social media presence prior to COVID, a lot of people had to adapt on the fly. I would have to say, though, by and large, what I've seen is people have been able to do it. Whether they could do it themselves and had the technological expertise to do it themselves, or whether they went to an outside consultant to help them, we see a lot of businesses that have gone that direction. But, you know, I think social media in particular is probably going to be an ongoing part of every business model from here on out.
Well, and with small businesses, of course, we've seen a lot of restaurants impacted, and restaurants had to make that shift very quickly from having customers come in and sit at tables and maybe order some appetizers and get a couple extra things to doing entirely delivery or curbside. I mean, that's a huge change as well.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I would like to anecdotally tell a story about a Mexican restaurant that I know that went strictly to a delivery system. They started off citywide, then they went countywide. They're staying open till like 3 a.m. on the weekends, and they're just absolutely doing great, great business. And then others, I mean, I'm sitting here looking in my own community of Red Oak, and we've had a couple of restaurants actually close because they weren't able to adapt and to change. But several others have said, hey, look, business is as good as it's ever been. So, again, that ability to be flexible and to change is really important.
Businesses, of course, go on month to month making ends meet. Is there a problem of a lot of business owners not necessarily really knowing fully where they stand financially?
Well, that's a really good point, Charity. And, you know, one of the things that we try to tell people is, and we do some business financial analysis for small businesses. I think more than anything else, they need to know what their break-even point is. And unless they're completely familiar with their business month in and month out, they may not have a real firm idea of what break-even is. And obviously, anything less than break-even, your chances of survival and success are somewhat limited. So I would tell people either get with their accountant or come through us or an Iowa Small Business Development Center and let us figure out what that break-even point is for you, so you know where you have to get before you start to sputter or otherwise fail.
Have you heard from a lot of businesses who need help trying to figure out that point?
Yeah, quite a few, surprisingly. But we've got some great people up there in our farm, food, and enterprise development unit. It's all part of the small business assistance team that we have with SBDC and our community and economic development unit. I want to specifically mention Brian Tapp and Dwayne Johnson. These guys do a terrific job of figuring out where you are financially and helping you through the process. So, again, that it would be a recommendation that I would make right off the bat. If you don't know where that point is, find out.
Now, of course, after things had closed down, Congress responded, and there was some assistance that became available to businesses. But we all know that getting your hands on that money has been more difficult than it may have originally seemed like it would be. And, of course, we've seen a number of different things play out with that over time. How about businesses in Iowa? How have they benefited from the Paycheck Protection Program?
I think quite well. However, I would say that, you know, even, and I love the folks at the Small Business Administration, but I don't think they had any idea of how overwhelming that would be on the front end. I mean, you got to think in that first stimulus package, that money was literally gone in 13 days. And of course, with the amount of folks wanting to make application, their systems were overwhelmed. I might also add that so were the banks. I mean, especially in small rural banks, there weren't enough loan officers to process those applications through the SBA. In fact, one of our guests on our podcast, we had a couple of folks from a bank in West Des Moines. They said their loan officers were literally working 6-7 days a week, 12-hour days, just trying to get the number of applications out. So, you know, that in itself was more than a little bit of a challenge. On the flip side of this, now the second stimulus package came out with more money for that Paycheck Protection Program. And as of last week, I think last Monday, actually, they said there was $130 billion still left in that fund. So if you haven't made application and you want to take advantage of that program, you might want to do that. But again, the rules seem to change, if not hourly, at least daily, as to what was eligible, what wasn't eligible, who could apply, who couldn't apply. So again, that got kind of frustrating for businesses. And I had a number of calls that said, hey, I need some help. I can't work through this.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is it something that a small business person can wade through on their own?
It's not a big application. I think it's 4 pages all total. So it's not difficult. One of the things I would advise, though, if you did get a PPP loan, is that you keep meticulous records. I mean, you know where your payroll is. You know, there's a certain portion of that could go to utilities, to loan or lease payments, to sick leave, to medical leave. But keeping track of that, again, not every small business person is a natural born accountant. But keeping your records just absolutely, dotted I's, crossed T's, whatever it might be, you know, make sure that you've got all of that stuff in hand because, you know, a certain part of this is forgivable, but only if you can justify that forgiveness portion of it. So you have to be very, very careful about what you do and how you do it.
So you don't leave yourself with a huge vulnerability later on. This hour, we do want to hear from you. If you are a small business owner or if you work for a small business in Iowa, tell us how COVID-19 has affected your business. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Veronica's on the line with us from Iowa City. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Charity.
Lovely to hear from you. And you have 3 food service businesses, right? So tell me a little bit about how things have been going.
Sure. Yeah, I have 2 food service establishments in Iowa City, Yotopia, which is a frozen yogurt shop, and then Dumpling Darling. And then in Des Moines, I have a cafe called Nosh Cafe in the East Village. And so far, we've had to close 2 of my 3 businesses for a period of time because one of our employees in a couple of different, 2 of the cases have had positive tests. And, you know, it's really a struggle, especially with very little guidance from the governor on what to do in cases where there are outbreaks or positive cases. But we've been you know, incredibly taking incredible precautions to protect our staff, our customers, and our community. The caller or the gentleman just a few moments ago said, you know, most small business owners are not accountants. And, you know, I think about that as I spent most of March and April applying for federal loans and state grants. But now we're so glad to be able to be open. And I hope, my hope is that we can remain open. And, you know, one of the things we know is the best way to protect us as a community is to wear face coverings. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that we have the solutions. And, you know, in order to keep the economy open, we really have to do a better job protecting ourselves and each other.
Do you feel like your customers have been pretty willing to wear face coverings, and not just customers, but delivery people, et cetera, other people who would be in your businesses?
Yeah, actually, I've been really heartened by the response. I mean, even some longtime customers at Yotopia who have told me in the past they're not comfortable with wearing masks. We mandated in my store there, and they showed up on Friday. And I said, it's so good to see you. And they said, we're here to support you, even though you're requiring masks. And I said, well, I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, this everyone does. It's about creating sort of the social pressure and saying, this is what we're doing, not only for us, but for you. And if we want this economy to stay open, we need to do better as a community and as a state. And yes, some of our, you know, our delivery drivers, we get local yogurt from Country View Dairy in Northeast Iowa. And our delivery driver, Steve, shows up every Friday with a mask on. And it just feels good to do business with local producers who also take this pandemic seriously.
Veronica, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience. You're welcome to join the conversation as well. 866-780-9100. With me, Steve Adams of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. He specializes in community and economic development. We'll talk with some other business owners here in Iowa throughout the hour, and we'll continue our conversation about what it's like to do business in an age of COVID-19. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about what it's like to do business in an age of COVID-19. Many businesses in Iowa have had to change their business plans abruptly. It started in March. They've had to figure out other ways to break even each month. Some businesses are not breaking even, are struggling, even closing. Others have found new ways to move forward. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your experiences this hour. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Steve Adams of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. He specializes in community and economic development. And before we bring on our next guest, Steve, I wanted to bring up something that Veronica just mentioned, and that is, you know, businesses need to create a policy that keeps their employees safe, and they also need to create a policy that keeps people coming in the door. That's been a really complicated thing for a lot of businesses, and it may be a little simpler in a town like Iowa City and harder in a rural area. Tell me what you've been hearing from business owners about whether to require masks or not.
It's been kind of interesting on the whole mask issue, Charity, to see, you know, I would guess about 90% of the people I see in grocery stores, for example, are wearing masks. And then I see it's a little more nonchalant in other, you know, places of business like farm and home stores. Now, the restaurant employees have been very good about it. And going back to what you said, I think as far as positive public relations go, you've got to continually communicate not only to your customers, but also to your employees, what you're doing to keep everybody safe. And I think if you can get that policy out and about so people know about that and feel comfortable with what you're doing, you know, obviously we're seeing a lot more hand sanitizers, plastic screens, alcohol wipes and stuff on counters. One place I frequent, you know, as soon as every customer hits the counter, the person behind the counter is wiping off the countertop with some kind of disinfectant wipe. Again, that gives me the confidence that when I go into that place of business, I know that they're looking out for me, and vice versa. I've got my mask on. I'm carrying around for the first time in my life a little thing of hand sanitizer in my front pocket. I've got alcohol wipes in my vehicle to wipe down steering wheel and other things. But again, being able to communicate that to your employees so they know, hey, I've got a safe place. I got a safe haven here. I can come to work and feel like my employer is looking out for my very best interest. And again, by telling your customers that same thing, they too know that they have a safe environment in which to shop. And increasing that comfort level, I think everybody's got a sense of nervousness, trepidation, whatever it might be. If I go in here, am I going to be okay? Am I going to stand to become exposed to COVID-19? You know, the more you can do to lessen that fear and that apprehension, I think the better off you are overall. Again, not only as an employer and employee, but also as a customer. So well, I just think that makes sense.
You sound like an ideal customer, Steve. We know for a fact that there are customers who are not going to be reassured by the safety of the employees. They just don't want to wear masks. And then we have these employees who are in a position where they have to make a decision. Do I confront this person? Or the business owner has to make a decision about whether they let them in or not. And we know we've gotten, you know, reports of employees who may not be getting paid all that much suddenly getting into fights with customers because the customers are attacking them for this decision. I mean, this is a fraught thing.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I don't think any minimum wage employee wants to be in charge of crowd control. But nonetheless, and, you know, you hear these stories nationwide, it's a little frightening that people would do that, would bother to insult or push or assault an employee. And, you know, it's beyond me why people do that. I also don't think it ought to be a partisan issue. You know, some people have politicized this whole mask issue to the point, and I'm just going to give you another anecdotal story here. I was happening to walk out of a local hardware store, and somebody saw me in my mask and say, oh, you must be a Democrat. Well, no, I don't think it's got anything to do with what your party affiliation does. It's a matter of common sense and not only protecting, you know, yourself, but protecting other people because, let's face it, a lot of folks are asymptomatic. They don't even know they might possibly be a carrier. So it's just, again, a matter of doing the right thing and looking out for everybody. And Iowans, by and large, Charity, have always been a very giving group of people. You know, we're all the time looking out for our neighbors. And I don't know why this has to be an issue at all.
I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. And of course, you're welcome to join us with your experiences. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next up, Dave Deibler is the owner of Octopus Bar and Mohair Pear in Cedar Falls on College Hill, right next to the University of Northern Iowa. Hello, Dave.
Charity, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And Dave, I mean, before the governor's emergency declaration, all of the region's universities had already said that they were extending spring break. So you already were in a position where you had lost the University of Northern Iowa students. That had to feel like a blow already. Can you tell me what you remember about St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. First, I just have to say that it's my wife, Barb, and I. And if I want any peace in my house, I run both of these businesses, and she's the main person over at Mohair Pear.
All right.
But I say in some way we've been in training for this because I'm not happy to say it, but enrollment at the University of Northern Iowa has been declining over the last 5 years. So we've been having to find ways to get revenue from other parts of the community. So we were kind of ready in that sense that, you know, we definitely don't just have students as customers. We have at the bar, it's a combination of professors, retired professors, you know, neighborhood people. So I think that's we had a little chance to deal with this and not knowing, you know, what was coming up, of course.
Well, and you mentioned Mohair Pear, and that's a boutique. But the Octopus Bar, that's a live music venue and a bar. That's a really tough business to be in right now.
Well, yeah, and I've said this in conversation several times with other business people and friends. I'm glad that we're in our eighth year and not our eighth month. My heart really goes out to people who are just starting right now. I think that challenge would be enormous. We've been around just long enough to have, you know, some regulars and loyal customers. And I mean, it is a shock to the system. The live music portion, the venue portion of our business is, I pretty much consider it, for a while I considered it on hold, but right now I just consider it to be dead and we'll have to, you know, start it back up.
Tell me about how you worked through your financials in those early weeks and now months of the pandemic, because again, I mean, this is just a business that is not going to work in this environment. And we know that, of course, there's always that recommendation that a small business owner have 6 months of cushion. I suspect that that doesn't always happen. Tell me about your reckoning period.
Well, looking back on it, it's a pretty clear path, and I was lucky that we had some good help in figuring out what we were going to do. Our bank here in town, Lincoln Savings, was very aggressive, like with the PPP loans. But if you were going to look at it quickly, just in the order of what happened, right after we closed down, I applied for that. The name escapes me, but there was a grant. And we received, you know, $25,000 and $20,000 respectively from that. And that really helped us take a breath. You know, and my hat goes out to the state of Iowa for being there for us when we needed them. And it wasn't a loan. It was a grant. So right after we closed, we were awarded that pretty soon. And then the PPP thing came in. And so we were very fortunate that way. And also our businesses are a good size in relation to the community. They're not too big. So when we shut down completely, we could run them very cost efficiently, you know, really shut them down. And then the last thing I would say as far as the last piece of the puzzle in getting through this would be the CARES Act and the enhanced unemployment for ourselves and our employees was just fantastic. So there certainly was a lot of stress and wondering about what's coming next, but that took some of the serious bite out of the concern.
I know that a lot of business owners have felt like it wasn't enough. Do you feel like you have been taken care of by the federal and state government?
I do. I mean, I feel like we need to be shut down again, and I don't see anything in sight to both of my businesses are open right now, but it's definitely a complicated relationship, especially at the bar. Up until now, I've been self-employed since I was 23. I've never been on unemployment or received any funding or money or, you know, and I should mention that we had a GoFundMe campaign that raised about $6,000. That was probably the first step in getting help in getting through the pandemic. And it's very difficult at first to ask for money, you know. And I wouldn't say begging, but to ask for money on a regular basis is something that I hope I don't have to get used to. I think in our case, we were taken care of pretty well. I know from talking to my friends, other business people in town and around the country, you're hearing some very mixed stories, especially self-employed people are having a very difficult time. But to answer your question, for us, I think that we got the funding we needed, and it wasn't, you know, excessive and not an undue burden on the system. So, yeah, I think the answer is yes.
Running a bar right now, of course, the gatherings at bars have been a real focus as we've seen cases rise, particularly in Iowa's college towns and particularly among 20-something individuals. What does that feel like in this moment to run a bar, this social institution that many people are blaming for these rising cases?
Well, like I said, it's complicated. I think we're Octopus is fortunate in one way is that we have a very even flow of customers. Some other bars, which are more geared towards young people and college students, packing, you know, they have to get them in a short period of time, like on a Friday night at 9, you know, and they have to do high volume because they're not doing a happy hour business like we are. So that would be even more difficult. But like I said, it's extremely complicated because I know I don't have to ask any other small business owner. None of us want to get anybody sick or harm anyone. And I think this is the first time where we've kind of had to deal with that. And it's just, is it something that can keep you up at night? Certainly. I don't, you know, you'll see a lot of stuff on social media about, you know, all bars should close now. And we should, but to do it without any assistance and just shut down right now, I would say 30 or 40% of us will not reopen.
It feels unfair to you to place the burden on the business owner at this point, given what we know about transmission and spread?
Yeah, I mean, bar owners are used to being picked on. You know, it's still to this day, there's kind of with selling alcohol, with selling beer, that sometimes when there's trouble in the neighborhood, the bars are the first ones they blame. So I think we're kind of used to it. But this is a little different. I mean, we have real tangible proof that there's a virus among us. And as your other guests have mentioned, you know, our bartenders wear masks. Same thing at Mohair Pair, all the employees are wearing masks. We don't make customers wear them. But when you're drinking a beer, it's very difficult to have a mask on.
So live music is a huge part of your business at the Octopus. What do you think the future looks like?
Well, like I said, it's dead right now. We're blessed to have an amazing music scene in Iowa. Octopus put out a live compilation about last November that featured 11 Iowa bands, and 8 of those bands, it's original material, were from the Cedar Valley. So that's just a huge number for the population we have. So it's, you know, we made our money selling beer and booze because we're a bar. And we certainly made money from putting on shows, but it's a lot of work. But it was the biggest part of our personality as a bar, and it was the thing that we really loved. So right now, it's I would say that we're in mourning, and it's a shock that we just don't really still know what's going on. I said to a friend of mine the other day, just think, right now, it was a Friday night, there's not one show going on in the whole country. You know, and it almost made me want to cry because that's just something. I'm 57 years old. This is a historically huge gut check to live original music that I don't know. I don't think anybody knows how we're going to recover from. I do know that when we start doing shows again, that I hope to charge more, you know, simple things like that, to learn some lessons from this shutdown, to value music more. And we'd also like to live stream, high definition live stream with quality sound for all of our shows and make those available for purchase. But beyond that, we're just waiting to see what's going to shake out.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us, and best of luck to you and Barb. Dave Deibler is the owner, along with his wife Barb, of the Octopus Bar and Mohair Pair in Cedar Falls on College Hill. With me still, Steve Adams of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And Steve, Dave did a beautiful job laying out some of the many challenges he's been encountering over the last few months. And he has an example of a kind of business that just really doesn't operate in this environment. That's a huge problem for a lot of business people in Iowa, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, Dave had some really good points. First of all, I can understand why he's not sleeping well. I think a lot of people are going through that, Charity. But, you know, when he mentions the fact that, you know, if we have to shut down again, 30 to 40% of the businesses won't reopen. Jessica Danker from the Iowa Restaurant Association, during one of our podcasts, mentioned that if this was to continue, she fully expected that we might see up to 40% of restaurants and bars never reopen again in Iowa. That would be devastating, a huge economic impact. So, you know, I think all those things have to be taken into consideration as well. But, you know, I get it. And Dave really has, you know, hit the nail on the head. He's had to change how things are being done. You can tell he's a real music lover. We have a similar situation with what's known as the Depot Deli down in Shenandoah, Iowa, that it's prided itself on live music using local musicians. Now, they've gone to an all-outdoor format, but what happens come winter? I mean, you know, that's not going to be possible for them to do. And it concerns me because, again, as I talk to small business owners, I repeatedly hear, if we go through another shutdown, we won't reopen. And I'm hearing that, you know, 2 or 3 out of 5 making mention of that. And that just scares the devil out of me, too, because, you know, the backbone of American employment is really driven by small business. And I don't think people realize that sometimes, but, you know, 80 to 85% of the new business, our jobs created in this country come from a small business of, you know, 5 employees or less. So
we're going to take a short break here, Steve. We'll be back in just a moment. Steve Adams, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. We're talking about doing business in Iowa in the age of COVID-19. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about doing business in Iowa in the age of COVID-19, focusing particularly on locally owned businesses this hour. You're welcome to join the conversation with your experiences, your observations, and questions. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Steve Adams, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. He specializes in community and economic development. And before we bring our next guest into the conversation, I want to read a few emails, Steve, that we've been getting. This one's from Monica. She says, I'm with Eulenspiegel Puppets, and as you can imagine, all of our shows were canceled or rescheduled for 2021. We've been doing live streaming shows, teaching Zoom workshops, and doing Zoom birthday parties. The most fun we're having is in building a drive-in puppet show that will be ready to go in August. It's called Shenanigans, Animals in Charge, and it's inspired by reports of animal activities during lockdown. And Steve, this has been a time of incredible creativity for a lot of businesses, as Monica underlines there, although we have seen with live streaming sort of a law of diminishing returns, as people are not as excited about that sometimes as they were. I mean, what a difficult time, but people are being ingenious, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, as we've mentioned earlier, you know, with every challenge comes a potential opportunity. And, you know, I've been on Zoom so much. We went into lockdown March 16th, for example, and my one-on-one interactions have been severely limited since then. So it's Zoom. And, you know, we've, in some cases, it turned into Zoombies, but it's been kind of fun. I'm getting introduced to people's pets, their kids over Zoom, and it's brought kind of a new intimacy into the situation. But the creativity part of it, I've never heard of that before, but the drive-in puppet show just sounds like an absolute hoot. I think that would be so much fun. So
we have this email from Anne in Mount Vernon. She says, I had to make the decision early on to close one of my 2 stores at Old Capitol Town Center in Iowa City. She's talking about her stores, the Silver Spider. She says it was difficult but seemed necessary to keep my original store in Mount Vernon going. My store doesn't lend itself to online sales because I have so many small, inexpensive items. I've been open from 2 to 5 except on Sundays in Mount Vernon and had some great loyal customers, but it's going to be a long time before things get back to any kind of normal. And let's turn now to our next guest. Eric Skoog is the owner of Kronk's Cafe, Restaurant and Lounge in Denison, Iowa. Kronk's is one of those storied restaurants, open since 1929. It's on the original Lincoln Highway and a popular stop for politicians during caucus season. Actress Donna Reed was known to stop in when she visited her hometown. And now Eric Skoog and his wife have decided that it's time to retire and put the restaurant up for sale. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. And I asked Dave Deibler earlier to take us back to St. Patrick's Day. You were in the midst of making, was it 80 pounds of corned beef when you got that?
Well, actually, I was sitting in a board meeting for the county. I'm a supervisor up here in Crawford County. And I had a bud to my ear listening to the radio and trying to follow out what the governor was trying to talk about. This was doom day for everybody in, you know, in our businesses. And at 11:30, she made the announcement that all restaurants will close at noon. And I said, you got people on St. Patrick's Day, which was March 27th, all looking for some corned beef and cabbage and, you know, the fun stuff for that day. And all of a sudden, bingo, they shut us down. We served it out the rest of the day and got rid of most of all the 80 pounds of corned beef. But that's what started it off for us.
So as things have gone on, tell me how you adapted and how you came to the decision that, it was time to get out of the business.
Well, we decided to shut down. Doing car side was not in our criteria of things that we could figure out real fast and get set up. And we were going to take a good look at doing that over the next period of the next 2 weeks. Lay off my staff. You know, I was very concerned about them, making sure they could get what they could, and made arrangements to get them all taken care of through Iowa Workforce Development Office over in Carroll. And so what happens is we were shut down, and about 2 weeks in, we had been talking a little bit prior to this about closing the restaurant, not selling the restaurant. And my wife and I, we haven't been here all since 1929, but I've been here 41 years. My wife has been here 39 years. And we decided this was long enough that we wanted to spend more time with our family. And that was our plan within the next year and a half to do this. And then I just got to seeing what was going on and listening to what was going on and talking to the people who were doing car side, whether that was worth it or not. Which staff would I bring back if I did do that? Part of them wouldn't be, and it would probably be a little less than full time. So we were trying to figure out where we would fit into this notch, and it just came to both of us. I looked at her and I said, I'd rather spend my energy and my money towards getting this place sold to a couple or to anybody who would like to continue to operate it in the way it is. It's got very good state recognition across the state, and we feel we have something to sell.
It's a hard time to sell a restaurant, though.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what it's become. And so we're in a small town in western Iowa, you know, 8,000 population, 30,000 county population. And it's been tough. It's been really tough for us to take. People are constantly asking, have you got a buyer? Anybody stopped to look at the place? But the one that really touched Terry and I the most is about 50 to 60 letters we've gotten from customers over the years, you know, who said, sorry to hear Kronk's is closing and really hope that you get somebody in to run it. And, you know, they understand wholly that we're looking at the next stage of our life. I'll be 65 in a year, and my wife is there already. You know, we just said it's a whole different world of operation. It's something that we weren't set up to take. So,
well, Eric, I'm sorry that your long run at Kronk's is ending at such a difficult time, but I do wish you all the best, and I hope you find a buyer soon.
Well, we'll be looking. We're working on that. So we've had several people in different places and different times that are just looking, I'm sure, but you're right with the number of restaurants out there that it'll affect the numbers, I'm sure.
Eric, thanks so much for being here today. Eric Skoog, he is the owner of Kronk's Cafe Restaurant and Lounge in Denison. And Steve Adams of Iowa State University Extension, it's the restaurant business is a really hard business. There are a few restaurants out there that have been open since 1929. Tell me a little bit about, you know, we talked about how so many restaurants will probably close because of this pandemic. But looking at opening a restaurant during this period, that feels insurmountable.
Well, first of all, restaurants have the highest turnover rate of any business nationally. It kind of goes with the territory, I guess, with restaurants. The margins are not real good there. And, you know, if you've got a successful one, I want to compliment Kronk's. Some of the best food I've ever eaten, I've eaten out of that restaurant. So it's just difficult. If you walk in with a client, for example, to a baker, and you mention that your client wants to open up a restaurant, it's like a five-alarm fire goes off. You know, these bankers are really kind of skittish about restaurants in general. So, you know, again, it's a high turnover business. But interestingly enough, I've actually had two small business clients here in the last 3 months that have come to me about helping them put together a business and feasibility study to open a restaurant. So not everybody is running away. Some people are still actually considering it as an option and an opportunity. So, I do not envy anybody in the restaurant or bar business right now. It's a difficult time. I had another client over in South Central Iowa that had an event venue that primarily did weddings, and she put her business up for sale literally the 1st of March. And by the end of March, you know, the place was shut down. She has no revenue. She, too, was just like the owner there from Kronk's, was at retirement age and was looking to do something else after doing it for 30-some-odd years. So, yeah, I don't envy anybody, Charity, in that line of work at the moment.
Well, I want to bring on our final guest for today. Pam Lewis is the owner of Czech Village Antiques in Cedar Rapids. COVID-19 shut her business down, and they reopened just over a month ago. They provide hand sanitizer and require masks to be worn by their customers. But Pam didn't feel like she could require that without providing masks, so she has been spending her evening sewing masks for any customer who needs one. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And before we talk about those hand-sewn masks, tell me a little bit about your business.
Well, it's an antique mall, so we have 20 antique dealers who rent space. They set up their little spot, and then we share the responsibility for staffing the antique business. Most of our dealers are over 60, some are over 70, and a few over 80.
Wow.
So we closed down before it was required to anybody to close down. We just thought, well, we'll take 2 weeks, we'll quarantine, we'll try to get through this first part and see what happens. Well, that stretched into 2.5 months of being closed. And for our dealers, most of them depend upon the money they get from the antique mall to make car payments, buy groceries. And so we met and decided unanimously to reopen. But we had to do something to give our customers and our staff some protection. And that's why we bought gallons of sanitizer and I started sewing masks.
Now, all right, a lot of businesses provide masks these days, and a lot of businesses have ordered boxes of medical masks to give out to their customers. Why did you decide that you would hand sew all of these masks?
Well, first of all, we're an antique business. We're the original recyclers of the world, and we just felt that we shouldn't be giving out something that was going to be thrown away. And we wanted something that people could take with them, they could wash, they could dry, and they could wear again and again and again. And that seemed to be like the best solution for what we were trying to do, which was protect our staff and our customers.
How many masks do you think you have sewn?
Well, I lost track after 500, and I think I'm probably closer to 800 now. Originally, when we first reopened, we were handing out between 35 and 40 a day.
Wow.
That slowed down a little bit. So now it's sort of, most people come with a mask. So now we're sort of closer to 5 to 10 a day that we're handing out.
Now, the reason that I know about your masks is because you put up a Facebook status last week because you had an unhappy run-in with a customer who refused to wear a mask. Have you had many of those customers?
No, not really. You know, this was one person who, when we offered him a free mask, responded with, "I'm not going to wear a mask and I'm never coming back." And our response to that is usually, "Well, that's fine. Come back another day." And his response was, "Well, I'm never coming back and you just lost a customer," which really small businesses don't want to hear. And so that's why I made the post asking people to please cut us some break. You know, we're trying the best we can. We're just muddling through this like everybody else. And, you know, we don't have a lot of guidance. We're just trying to figure out the best way we can. And so, no, we haven't had. And the response to the post has been absolutely overwhelmingly positive. So much love. I'm just so touched by the way people have responded to the Facebook page.
Well, I'm glad of that. When that customer said that to you, that must have felt kind of like a slap in the face.
It did. It did. You know, and the dealer that was working that day was upset by it. And, you know, I tried to say, hey, you know, obviously this person has some problems and it's not our problem. We're going to keep doing what we're doing and keep hoping for the best. I guess that's all any of us can do.
Have you taken any of your business online?
it's real hard with an antique business because everything is sort of one of a kind.
Yeah.
So it's not like, and then of course, if it sells, then the next person says, well, I thought you had this for sale. Well, no, that's sold, you know, and so it's really difficult to do online. And also people like to sort of touch and feel and smell antiques when they buy them and collectibles when they buy them. They want to really look them over close. So online doesn't work real effectively for this kind of business.
Well, Pam, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today.
Oh, that's quite all right. Stay safe.
You too. Pam Lewis is the owner of Czech Village Antiques in Cedar Rapids. She has sewn probably more than 800 masks. And just as we close out the hour, I want to read this email from Brian. He says, my experience in small town Fairfield is that 95% of customers in stores are not wearing masks. Also, the employees in those stores are not wearing masks either. Only Walmart and Hy-Vee employees wear them. In this small town, most residents don't take the epidemic seriously. One comment from an employee at O'Reilly's about wearing masks. I don't want to get paranoid about this. And Steve, just as we close out the hour, you know, we've heard from so many small business owners who are doing their best to stay in business right now. And for most small businesses, it's essential that they protect their employees. I think as customers, we think about our interaction in a store, but for small businesses, just protecting those employees and themselves has to be a number one concern in this moment.
Well, I think you kind of heard there with one of our earlier guests, you know, if somebody tests positive inside your store, that means that every other employee has probably been exposed, which might absolutely force you to close your business at that point. So employee safety, as we've kind of harped on a little bit, is really, really important because, you know, let's say you got five employees and one test positive. What, the other four are going to go home and quarantine for 2 weeks. Are you going to be able to stay open then? Probably not. So, you know, it's just, again, going back to a simple matter of common sense and what will do the most to make you safe, to make your employees safe, and to keep your customers safe.
And Steve, you mentioned earlier that small business owners who are struggling right now can reach out to Iowa State University Extension to get some guidance, to get some help.
Absolutely. Like I said, we've got a small business assistance team up there. We are partnered with the Iowa SBDCs, and there are 15 locations around Iowa with SBDC personnel available. And that all that service is for free. We do most of the things we do for free. We've got a lot of training, webinars. Like I said, we got 23 podcasts up there. About the name of the podcast is Back to Business Iowa. So it kind of makes sense and goes hand in hand with what you and I have been talking about today, Charity. So, yeah, we've got all kinds of resources. Iowa State University Library has got entrepreneurial resources coming out of their ears. You know, we are a land-grant institution, so outreach for us is still the thriving mission.
Yeah. Steve, thank you so much for your time. Steve Adams, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. This is Talk of Iowa.